Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Greg Pickle, and it's time for Ask Greg. For those of you who have never sent us a question, first of all, why not? Come on. This is a chance for you to get Mr. Greg Pickle to answer your Penn State and recruiting questions. The best way to do it is download our app. That's Keystone Sports. Or if you want to go by email, you could email info@ksnsports.net and send us your question. And not only do you get a chance to get your question on the air, answered by Greg Pickle, you also have a chance to win a KSN polo shirt. So, and Greg could attest to it. It's a good-looking shirt, right, Greg?
Oh, yes, it is, Jim. I have it on right now. I have the burgundy one on. I have the gray one, the blue one. I love all of them equally, and you can get yours by submitting a question weekly, and we'll pick a winner each week if we remember, which I think we did last week, and I know we will this week. So keep those questions coming.
And you know what's funny is even when I remember, which I did last week, I still got a note from somebody. You know, you didn't name the winner. I'm thinking, I thought I did, and I had to go back and re-listen. And yes, I did. So even when we do it right, we get called on it. All right, let's get started. Let's start with Mitch from Drescher, PA, and he lets us know that Drescher, PA is in Montgomery County. Greg, you've mentioned that on-site visits are a critical aspect of Penn State's recruiting process, and things may pick up once Coach Franklin could get kids back on campus. Are you concerned that Penn State may not be able to put their best foot forward this season? A whiteout game with just a few thousand fans, recruits not permitted on the sidelines, small group, socially distanced meetings. Could such restrictions have a larger impact on Penn State recruiting than for other schools?
I think it would be about even, quite frankly. But I do think that one of Penn State's biggest selling points, because it doesn't have a college football playoff visit yet, because it doesn't have, the consistent success at places that it recruits against, like Ohio State, like Clemson, like Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, you know, it doesn't have a sustained level of success. So what does it have that can outpace those schools? And I think its visit experience is one of the best in the country. We just hear recruits rave about it all the time. And so because of that, I think it is a challenge for them to put their best foot forward with a lot of these recruits, because they simply haven't been able to host guys since mid-March, and they have four new faces on the coaching staff that have not really had the chance to sit down with players. So you tie those two things together, and yeah, it's going to be difficult. And as long as they can host guys this fall, I think they'll be fine. Even if it's in an altered way, I think they'll find a way to make it work. But the problem is, and I think the question kind of gets to this point, what if visits aren't allowed this year? What if the NCAA says, we're not going to have guys visit in the fall, or it's not going to work. You can only have 2 to 5 recruits on campus each game. It could get messy. I don't know. Seems like every day, every week, we hear something new about positive tests or this, that, or the other thing. And so, who knows where this is going, and who knows what the landscape is going to look like by August, let alone September. But I do think that until they can host prospects again on campus, it will absolutely be a challenge to put their best foot forward.
And I do think the whiteout is such a great recruiting tool, and there's no doubt it's going to be different this year. All right, next up is Al from Woodbridge, Virginia. Al says, hey, Greg, after listening to many segments about Penn State's quarterback room, I've started to wonder, do you think that Will Levis is going to stick around for 2 more years just so he could play for 1 season? I feel like his situation has Tommy Stevens written all over it.
I could see that. It's tough to say. I mean, I guess the one thing I've been thinking about a lot lately, Jim, and perhaps it's silly, perhaps it isn't, but how is this whole either shortened season, modified season, changed season, canceled season, postponed season, who knows at this point, but how is it going to change what guys do for the NFL draft? Now, I'm not saying Sean Clifford's the kind of guy who would leave after just one more season to go, but what if they do play, and what if he is just fantastic in Kirk Straka's offense, and what if some quarterbacks at some other schools that people would expect to come out, maybe their school has a different year than what was expected and they decide to stay in, you know, is that a possibility? I just think there's going to be more decisions made this coming off season that are different from what we've come to expect than ever before, just because of the uncertainty surrounding everything. I mean, we could see an 8-game season. We could see a 6-game season. We could see a full season. We could have bowl games. We could not have bowl games. There could be a college football playoff. Maybe there won't be. Maybe we'll start in September, maybe October, perhaps next spring. I mean, who knows? So I could see the Levis situation turning into a way similar to Tommy Stevens, but I think what Will has working for him that Tommy unfortunately did not is the health factor, and that assuming he doesn't get hurt, he will have the chance to endlessly compete with Sean Clifford. And if Sean doesn't take a step forward like I think he will and Will does, then Will, who knows, could win that job. Maybe not this year, maybe next year. So, you know, I think it's a fair question. I think it's possible it could play out that way. I also think there's some other opportunities there as well.
Well, my take on it, I think the Tommy Stevens analogy is a good one. Now, in hindsight, I think Tommy Stevens made a mistake in not transferring the year prior, where he would have 2 years of eligibility. And if I were advising Will Levis, and I'm not, but I would look at it, you go through this season, if Sean Clifford's coming back for another season, that pretty much restricts you to 1 year. If you've graduated at that point and you could transfer and still have 2 years of eligibility, I think I might do that. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, speaking of quarterbacks and going back to our five-star quarterback recruiting segment earlier, Dominic from Cranberry Township asked, simple question, what happens to the landscape of the Big Ten East if Maryland lands Caleb Williams? For those who don't know, Caleb Williams, very highly regarded five-star quarterback coming out this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think going back to the conversation we just had, you know, it's going to be difficult to, I think, project how that changes the landscape in the Big Ten East, because I think it's going to be hard to see what, you know, what Caleb Williams, I mean, obviously, look, the Elite 11's going on, as you and I talk about this, Jim, in the last week of June, and the kid just looks to be an incredible talent. And so I have no doubt that he will, if he does go to Maryland, change the landscape of things. So, you know, I guess the question just becomes, do you want to try and predict what a guy's going to do in his recruitment and then try and predict how that changes the conference before he gets there? I mean, it's still not like Maryland's going to have the greatest surrounding cast in the world. How about this, Jim? I will pay you for an order of 15 shirts to send to everyone who asks a question in a month if he picks Maryland. I don't think there's any chance that's going to happen. that would stun me. I understand the idea of wanting to play in state. I understand the idea of wanting to represent your school, be close to your parents. We live in a weird time. Being near family is important. I understand all of that. But Jim, this guy, if he is as good as everyone says he is, and if you go read the Elite 11 reviews, if you read the stuff from last high school season, I mean, this guy is special. He is a transcendent talent, and I just can't imagine he wants to hope that things go well at Maryland enough that he could make it into the college football playoff with how miserable it is to try and win in the Big Ten East, as opposed to going to one of the other options that he has that's already in that conversation and probably plays in an easier conference. So I think the question is mostly moot at this point.
I agree. And I think one of the other things is, if we look at this history of five-star quarterbacks, not that it's a guarantee, but the five-star quarterbacks who went to the premium programs, the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the Oklahomas, those are the places where they've excelled. The players who've gone, you know, well, like Shea Patterson went to Ole Miss, as an example, five-star, he's not going to turn Ole Miss into a dominant team in the Southeast Conference. And I think the same thing at Maryland, especially to go to a program like that, to expect him to all of a sudden carry Maryland above Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and even Michigan State, I just can't see that happening. And I'm with you. He's going to Oklahoma. But I think even in that hypothetical, if he were to select Maryland, you know, I don't see that all of a sudden catapulting Maryland into a top 10 program.
Yeah, I just don't see it either.
Let's get to our next question, and this is from Dan in Berwick. Dan says, with the high potential for several players missing any game at any time due to COVID, what pressure does it create to get the entire 2 and 3 deep game time early in the season? For instance, the entire second team offensive line rather than just one or two players rotating in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair question. You know, one thing I just wonder about, though, Jim, is what is the early season going to mean? And I, you know, again, I know we kind of, you know, hedge our bets here a little bit with these segments because we just don't know the answer. But, you know, is Penn State going to play a non-conference schedule? Is it just going to jump right into the Big Ten season, et cetera? So I do think it'll be important to get those guys time. But depending on how the schedule plays out, you might not have that luxury. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. But, yeah, there's no question that if you do have that non-conference slate as expected, and if the games are going as expected, James Franklin's going to have to fight that urge. And I know he wants to get his top guys as many reps as possible as well to tune up, especially with no spring practice, but he's going to have to fight that urge that we've seen in the past under normal circumstances to leave guys in the game, his starters, his first team, you know, to the very bitter end almost. He's going to have to fight that in favor of getting more guys more relevant reps, not just ones against second, third, and fourth stringers, because yeah, it's a fair point. He could one day, and I could at one point, he could need to have a guy that's second or third on the depth chart be a starter against Ohio State, Michigan, or someone else. So yeah, no question, something to keep in mind, and it's something they're going to have to focus on.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the last couple seconds we have here, so it'll be tough to get another question in. But I think this Penn State team, Greg, has more depth than they've had for several years. So I don't think the issue of depth will be as big a factor for them this year as it might be in other years. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's a really fair point. And you know, again, it just, you wish we had more certainties and guarantees to talk about this stuff, Jim, but we just don't right now. I think that's a fair point, though, yes.
Yeah, and we always have to preface our statements with, we don't know what's going to happen, but, and that's a situation, who knows how much depth will come into play. All right, that's it for Ask Greg. We'll announce our winner at the start of quarter number 4.
Keystone Kickoff. From KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app and use code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 of casino games for your first 24 hours. That's code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 for your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.